Take your Bibles and turn to John 20, John chapter 20, and let's look at one of the resurrection accounts, John chapter 20. It is wonderful to see everyone today and to see visitors today. Welcome. It is a pleasure to have you with us, and we're so thankful that you get to come and join us in our celebration of Christ's resurrection today. John chapter 20, friends, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, today let's consider the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead and whether or not he is the one that we are seeking today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we ask that our hearts would be open to you, our hearts would be willing to read your word, to understand what it means, and to go forward with what you mean by what you say, the kind of impact it needs to have in our life. So, Lord, help us as we look at your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in each one of us today. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, on May 27th, a woman entered the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. And she ended the lives of three adults and three children. And that was just one of the saddest days. Perhaps it was further saddening to hear ABC News report that there had been more mass shootings than days in 2023 at that point in March. But since then, let me read to you a few of the parent notifications that I've received. March 30th, a few days later. Dear school families, today, several police departments in New York State receive swatting calls, which include about incidents occurring at school in our area. April 3rd, dear school district, around 10:45 this morning, school administrators learned of a threat posted by a student online. April 4th, dear school community, overnight, I was one of more than 40 superintendents in the state of New York who received a bomb threat via email. Searches are being done out of an abundance of caution. Students will be kept in their bus, and the people will not be allowed in the buildings until the searches are complete and the buildings are secure. And that's just a couple weeks. And you read that and you think, wow, it feels like it's hitting close to home. You say, why is it so hard? It's so hard because when you hear news like that, you don't know what is happening. You don't know when things will be safe. When will they be secure? How long are the kids going to be waiting on the bus? How long will it be until things are cleared? And what we realized in particular this last week was that what people didn't know, if they were safe or not, it brought a lot of frustration and anxiety. Kids were crying. Parents were screaming. Social media just blew up. You say, why? Because not knowing something can be really, really hard. We want to have a sense of security. We want to know things are okay. But when they're not, when we don't know, it can really rattle us. And of course, it's not just kids in school, that kind of thing that can rattle us. Not knowing things in all of life can be difficult. Just think for a moment. Not knowing if you'll achieve your goal for your business on time, that can be hard. Not knowing if a relationship will work out, that can be hard. Not knowing if the cancer is going to spread. Not knowing if you're going to go first. Not knowing when you're going to die. Not knowing what will happen once you die. Not knowing whether or not a child will trust in Christ in time. Not knowing what will happen to this country. Not knowing if you're going to make it through the winter. Not knowing if this will be your last day of work. You know, folks, the things we don't know can be really difficult for us to handle. And this kind of difficulty runs through human history. It was even true 2,000 years ago on Easter morning. I want you to look at John chapter 20, And I want you to notice what Mary said, what was said about her, what was said about the disciples. John chapter 20, verse 2, at the end it says, "We do not know." Verse 13, "I do not know." Verse 14, "She did not know." And verse 9, "They didn't understand." The same word, they didn't know. That is to say, this Easter morning was a very stressful one. And this kind of stress leads to despair. That's how God's people, the disciples, were on that Easter morning. But in this passage, we'll see that God holds out hope. And the hope rests in the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, and that lives are changed when they come to that realization. So we're going to look at the first 18 verses of this chapter. And these verses focus on two individuals in particular. One is the writer of this gospel, John. And the second is a woman named Mary. And in these stories, we're going to see how these two individuals came to faith. One came to faith by seeing inside the empty tomb. And the other came to faith by seeing the risen Lord. The story begins in verses 1 and 2 with Mary seeing the tomb that had been opened. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." So the tomb had been opened. Well, why? Why would the tomb be open? Well, isn't it obvious? If you leave right now, walk to your car, and your car door is open, why might it be open? Well, the reason's obvious. Someone must have been rummaging through your car. Well, the same is true for Mary. The stone is rolled away. The worst must have happened. And she says as much in verse 2. So she ran. She went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So you can hear the despair in Mary's words. Not only has Jesus been betrayed by Judas, not only has he been falsely accused by the religious, he's been crucified by the Romans, but now to add insult to injury, his body has been stolen. How evil! No wonder she's so distraught. As you'd imagine, some of the disciples wanted to find out if that was the case for themselves. So you look at verse 3 and it says, "So Peter went out with the other disciple," that's John, "and they were going toward the tomb." And so we read that John reached the tomb first and he looked inside. Peter got there second and he went inside. Then John went in after him. Say, what did they see? Well, they didn't see anyone. But they did see something, and that's something that we need to pay attention to. What they saw proved that Jesus' body had not been stolen. Look at verse 6 and 7. "The linen cloths lie there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in its place, in a place by itself." So Peter and John saw the grave clothes were still there. You see, these were the clothes that had been wrapped around Jesus' body for his burial. They're still lying there, seemingly not in a heap, but in the position of Jesus' body. You think of a crime scene where the outline of a person is drawn with chalk and such. You see, that's where he lay. Well, it seems that his claws, those linen claws, were exactly where he lay, but he was not there. And then they saw that the face cloth had been separated from the rest, and it was folded nicely. So clearly, no one has stolen the body and left the wrappings where they lie and then carefully folded the face cloth. There has to be some other explanation for what they saw. And it's at that moment that John's eyes were opened to the truth. Look at verse 8. "And he saw and believed." Say, what did he believe? He believed because of what he saw. that Jesus had risen from the dead. He believed that Jesus was alive because the grave clothes were still there. This conclusion is not what he had expected either. He had not come to the grave expecting to not find Jesus there because he knew Jesus had risen. Jesus had talked about that, but he didn't understand that. Look at verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. See, John came to faith because of what he saw. That's John's story. Jesus is risen. Well, why? Because the grave clothes were still there. That's how it happened for John. Remember, he's the one who's writing this gospel. And you can imagine as he writes those words, that's his story. He remembered exactly what it was like when it says he saw and believed. And of course, he wrote this decades later after this happened. He remembered back to this moment when his eyes were opened to the truth that Jesus was alive. Now, I ask you today, do you recall the time when you were once blind, but then you could see? When God opened your eyes and you believed? Do you remember? Do you remember that time when sin became real to you? Not like everyone sins, but like sin became real to you. You realized that your sin would be punished. You realized that Jesus died in your place for your sin. Is there a time that you can remember that you called on him to save you from your sin? Has that ever happened in your life? And I ask you, if that hasn't happened, why not ask him to save you right now? Because the truth is that he is ready to hear you call on him. He is waiting for you to turn and trust in him right now. Just as John believed, you can believe right now. He saw the grave clothes were still there and he believed. That's his story. That's his testimony. Now let's turn our attention to Mary's. You see in verse 10 that Peter and John return home, but Mary stays at the tomb. Verse 11, and she stands there weeping. Weeping. Why? Because Jesus is not only dead to her, Jesus is gone. She doesn't know where he is. And her story is that she was questioned in order that her eyes may be opened. You say, who questioned her? Peter and John are gone. That's right, they are gone. It seemed that she's alone, but she's not. Because two angels asked Mary, why is she crying? Look at verse 11 and 13, through 13. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Now, if you know much about angels, this sounds really odd. Because angels really have one responsibility, for the most part. They're messengers. God has a message. He wants to get it to people. He has an angel send that message. Angels make announcements. But here, the angel asks a question. Now, that's odd. But it's really important for us to think. Because this is what the angel from God asked. Why was she weeping? Of course, it's because she doesn't know where Jesus is. She says to the angel the same thing she said to the disciples at first. She says, my Lord, I don't know where he is. And she's despairing. Remember, she is the follower of Christ who had been delivered by Jesus from demons. She had followed Jesus for years. She was there when he died, a brutal death. She was the one who loved Jesus. She saw him buried. And now she goes back to anoint his body and he's gone. She's beside herself. She weeps. The question is, should she weep? She thinks so, but she's mistaken. Because Jesus then asked her, about her tears. Look at verse 14 and 15. Having said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" You see, Mary doesn't understand yet. And Jesus so graciously not only asks the question again, but he expands it because he wants her to understand. He wants her to break through the darkness. She's seeking Jesus, that's right, but she's seeking his body, his dead body. What good would it be if she found that dead body? Think of that. What happens if she would have got what she wanted to find? There'd be no hope if Christ was not raised. Faith would be worthless. You see, there is no point in seeking someone who is dead. She needed a real solution that would make a real difference in her life. She needed something to deliver her from her despair, from her tears, from her weeping. And that's exactly what Jesus gave her. Mary was called so that she would recognize who Jesus was. Look at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She thinks it's the keeper of the graveyard there. But this person calls her by name. How is it that a stranger would know her name? And then she realizes that this person who has spoken to her and asked her this question, he is the Lord. So she turns and says to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She recognizes him because he calls her name. And she falls at his feet with joy that he's alive. And in a moment, all the sorrow fades away because Jesus is alive. And then the story goes that Jesus told her to go tell the disciples that news. Because everything changed. Death had been conquered and salvation had been accomplished. There was a new relationship that was to be enjoyed. Look at what Jesus said in 17. "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You see, there's good news. You can have a relationship with God. And that's the news that Jesus wants Mary to say and to tell to his brothers, to the disciples. And that's what she goes and does. Look at verse 18. This is her story. Her story is, "I have seen the Lord." You see, in John's story, his story was, "I've seen the grave clothes." Obviously, Jesus is risen from the dead. And now Mary sees the Lord. And her story is, "Jesus is risen because I've seen him." And realizing this truth about Jesus is what changes everything. It's what changed John's life. It's what changed Mary's life. Their despair disappeared. At first, their hopes might have been like the hopes of you today. Maybe you despair. Maybe there are things that seem too hard. You don't know what to do. There's so much you don't know. You don't know how it's going to work out. But you realize that because Jesus has risen and he gives life and life abundantly to all who come to him, you realize that he's conquered death. If he has conquered death, whatever it is that you're fretting about isn't too big for him. If he can conquer death, he knows all the other things. The question is, will you turn to him and will you trust him with all those things? That's what he wants you to do. He offers you joy, not despair. He said to his disciples even before he was crucified in John 16, 22, "I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you." There is good news. God gives joy to all who turn and trust in Jesus Christ. That was the story of John. That was the story of Mary. And we'll hear that testimony once again today. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this word that you have given us and the story of John and Mary and how they came to faith. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate the life that you give, we ask that you would give us a fullness of joy. As we can think back to the time that we were saved, as we can celebrate with others, as we hear their testimony, and perhaps this would be a day of salvation for one who doesn't know you. So we pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.